Talk. Girl talk, talking about
Dateline.
The game of
girl talk.
Dateline. It's a great new game of
what's she gonna say?
It's a game of
what's he gonna do?
It's a game of
tell me, can you go?
Yes or no? Yes or no?
Girl Talk Dateline, the game about the two things girls like best, talking on the phone and
I'd love to go.
Boys!
New Dateline, from the makers of Girl Talk.
It is October 1991. You're all worried about if you're relationship ready. And here's a test of your relationship. You forgot to write something for the intro because you didn't realize it was your turn. Uh-oh. Well, I guess you'll see how it goes. It's time to...
Listen to Sassy.
I know it sounds like that wasn't scripted, but it was very scripted. I will take no further questions.
Dave, I think we can survive this.
Okay, great.
I send this stuff in and one day I realized I had not... stop recording. And so then when I sent it to you, it had this thing at the end of me just being like, thinking I was done all the way until when I burped. And then I was like, no. And then I was like, Dave, you gotta cut it. Please cut it.
I?
And then I was like, Dave didn't hear this part. He has hung up long ago.
Yeah.
And it didn't make it, which is how I know. Oh. You didn't.
What episode was that, by the way? Just out of curiosity.
I could go find out, but oh my gosh, just me being like, dark, dark, dark. Like immediately, as soon as I burp. No, Dave, no!
Well.
Oh, no, Dave. I thought I started recording. There's a little something extra for you. Don't put it in the show. Oh, no. Fuck.
Oftentimes when Dave and I and Sarah get on a call, like we will each burp before we start.
Yeah, that's how we say hello.
Very, very loud into the mic.
Yep. Because we're classy that
way. We're real classy.
All right, let's get into it.
Okay.
It's quiz time.
Margie, want to know, are you relationship ready? Oh, sure, you think you want a boyfriend. Maybe you even have one. But are you really prepared for the rigors of a relationship? We have 12 questions here that are sometimes hypothetical.
How many?
We call them HSs. 12.
12?
Did I say 12?
A lot of mustard on that. I enjoyed it.
Fancy.
Yeah, I got to start saying it that way. Everybody starts saying it that way.
12.
Yes.
There's a mm-hmm. W in it.
Yeah.
12. It's Tuesday.
Yes. It sounds like how hobbits would say 12.
I think I'm just fine with this. I've never noticed if I always do that.
It's 12 o'clock, time for third breakfast or whatever the fuck the hobbits say.
For my 11sies at 12. Anyway, I decided to take these 12 questions as if I were October 1991.
Sure.
I figured, let's be honest, was I relationship ready? Was I in a relationship October 1991? I think I was. All right. So anyway, the first one that I picked out is number 5. Ideally, my boyfriend would A, be able to anticipate my every thought and need. The reason I pause is normally this is when we complain about the quiz before we do our picks. But this was a pretty typical, are you good at being a girl?
Yeah. Quiz.
Are you good at being a girl?
That's what these are, Dave.
That is what they all boil down to.
A, ideally my boyfriend would A, anticipate my every thought and need. B, laugh at the same things I do. C, not be too critical of me. Now, ooh. Listen, I am a real BC on this one. Uh-huh. I think I'd like him to laugh at the same things I do and not be too critical of me. I don't think this is too much to ask at all.
No, but I think C is the secret you might be in an abusive relationship question. So now I'm concerned, Pam.
Listen, I didn't know. Even while I was taking this quiz the whole time, I was like, I bet I'm doing badly. And then and then I was like, there were more than one when I was like, aren't both fine? And I was like, oh, I'm probably doing poorly on this quiz. I think not be too critical of me is a basic thing. and then laugh at the same things I do. Also very important. These two are hard to pick. Are you saying sure. if I have to pick one?
No, I'm saying that the fact that this would even be a concern suggests that you've dated people in the past who have been too critical of
We don't have to go into
you.
Past tense.
Okay, no, I'm just saying.
What?
No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Look, there's a lot of criticism.
Call Jason. Get him on horn.
I think he'd have an opinion on how I'm answering this question is what I want to say.
You know what
about
I'm
that.
Critical of? This episode, says Jason. Going terribly so far.
Yeah. Listen, I live in a world of notes. I'm just used
right,
to notes.
That's
yeah,
true.
Sure.
And I would say
what you
thing-
need is a relationship agent.
I need a relationship
we used to call it matchmakers, but in your case, we're going to call them a relationship agent so you can wrap your mind around it.
I'm just going to be very honest. I have learned to understand that criticism is sometimes ADHD misfiring. And so I get it from multiple family members who are like, well, that's not what, you know, where you're like, could someone close the cabinet? And they're like, do you mean the door? That kind of shit. 24/7.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
You're talking about like 10% of our Discord population with that remark.
That's fine. I love you all.
And we love you.
Actually.
We love you. We love you.
Not anybody from this podcast.
No, no, no.
And not anybody from the other podcast.
Nope.
Nobody from our Discord, but still 10% of our Discord.
I love a good actually. I'm guilty of it too. But sometimes you just feel like, you know what I meant is...
Yeah.
It's a sense that I find myself saying. Mm-hmm. But it's more important that we're all laughing. So that is why here we are, a long answer. I eventually went with B.
Same. Well, I went with number 9, hypothetical situation number 3. You've got on a new dress and think you're looking super fine. Boyfriend doesn't even notice. You A, realize you must look like a pig and get depressed. B, sulk until he asks what's wrong. C, just keep on knowing you're a hot mama. Actually, you never stop to notice if he's noticed. D, turn the light on and stand directly under it so he can see you dyed your hair a different color.
Remember, don't be too critical of me.
He didn't know you dyed your hair multiple colors?
No, this don't you remember when I dyed my hair red?
Sure. She dyed her hair to look like one of those rainbow clowns, and I didn't notice.
You said you liked redheads.
Thank
you said
yes.
it here.
That's
you
why
said
I did
it here.
It.
Yeah.
It wasn't red. It was, you know, dark red. It was dark maroon. But well, you got dark hair. It's not like you bleached it first.
No.
I mean, if you bleached it first, that would be commitment to redheadness.
Oh, wow.
But
oh,
you didn't,
I see.
So oh, wow.
That's the issue, that I was insufficiently committed to my red hair?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
By the way, we still got those Kool-Aid packs ready to dye my hair.
Yeah, that's true. We forgot to do it again.
Yeah. My hair is whiter than ever.
It's true. It is.
Yeah.
We would notice if you Kool-Aided your hair for sure.
It looks great, though.
Yeah. I would want you to not mess with that. You've got a good head
hair?
Going on.
Yeah. Yeah. I hope my hair, this is going to sound like a humble brag.
Mm-hmm.
I hope when my
In
hair
In the far
turns,
future, when you start getting gray hair, yes, we know.
Yeah. Because I don't.
My gosh.
That's what I hope it looks
yeah.
like. It's very nice.
Number 9 is also where I had two, and it was hard to pick.
Uh-huh.
Between A and B, which is getting a little depressed. Oh, I must not look good. And then sulk a little bit and hope he notices.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. That's back then.
Sure.
I think now I'd be more of a C and just be like, oh, whatever. He's got something in his eye.
We'll have to ask Jason if you're more of a C, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. Did you see this? It's Pam.
He's very fast to always say something nice when I have entered a room. Like, he is good at that.
It's okay.
Like, you look cute. You look cute. He gave me the, even right now while you're making that face, is that criticism? This is what I want to point out. You look so cute, even when you're making your face do that right now.
Would you like it better? A thing that's happened a lot recently, because I guess of the weather, is Tara wakes up with great hair. She comes to me and says, look at this hair. Yeah. I just woke up. Look how it looks. Would you like it? And I acknowledge it. And it does. Mm-hmm. You're true. It does look better. There's something going on with the 10,000% humidity here recently.
Mm-hmm. And my 20,000 hairspray use. Go on.
Okay, but here's the next thing. Next time, don't say anything.
Mm.
Just point to it. And I'm going to say, woo, who's that hot mama?
But Dave, you can't tell when I've...
No, I don't know when it's good or when it's not.
Like, you don't know when my hair is even done sometimes. Yeah. Like, I have those flat barrettes, those flat clips that they do, that hairstylists use.
Because I'm not vain.
I know that, but I'm explaining to Pam, after I've washed my hair, if I'm letting it air dry, I just clip those in the front for my bangs.
And I'm like, it looks great.
And he's like, are you going to take a shower? And I'm like, sitting here on the couch, my hair is wet. I'm like, no, I already took a shower, you freak.
It's just because you smell.
Right.
Yeah. Right, you know, because of the stink.
Sure.
Yeah. Hot mama.
He's just thinking about water usage. He was not looking at your head.
Yeah.
I take camp showers.
She does. Which is great because I take luxurious hotel showers. It's time for my 47-minute hot shower.
This would be, if I had to guess, I would guess that Tara was a quick shower person and that Dave was like reading a book.
Oh, I'm not quick. I just turn off the water.
Reading a book.
When I'm like lathering up.
I do like reading books, but laminating all the pages individually is a pain in the ass.
It is.
Yeah.
It says you got to put your Kindle in a Ziploc.
It's not that I like to take long showers. It's just I forget where I am sometimes in the middle of the shower.
You mean in the process?
It's raining a lot and it's really warm. It's weird.
I thought you meant you forgot. Did I wash my hair or was that yesterday?
No, I just don't know where I am.
I see.
And I was like, well, I
he gets lost.
Yeah, mine is the following number, 12.
12.
You see 12. Your boyfriend talking to a gorgeous girl with extremely large breasts. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Do you A, assume he's coming on to her and pick a big fight later? B, figure he's probably having a normal conversation and continue yours? C, acknowledge that his overall hotness so completely dwarfs your own, there's no wonder he's finally dumping you? D, walk over to her and compliment her on her capital knockers. Girl to girl.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Game recognized game.
Double D. That answer is actually double D.
Da, 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 da. Big boobs. I mean, this is not theoretical. I lived a life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Although what we know.
Tara's got them capital knockers, says Pam.
Yeah, she knows.
Yeah, she does.
Although gorgeous, Dave, as we know, gorgeous means pretty and?
Pretty and dumb.
No, gorgeous is pretty with great hair.
Pretty with great hair.
Per News Radio.
Yes.
Beautiful means pretty and tall. Striking means pretty with a big nose.
All right, so how did people score here?
I got 15.
15?
Yes, at the top of the middle category, which is you're walking a fine line. If by chance a cool boy came down the pike, one who treated you well, was smart and funny and nice and idealistic with endearing flecks of cynicism, you'd keep your head and do great, we believe. But if this boy were foul, you could very well lose it, ditch your friends, sell your soul, lose all perspective, our collective experience. Really wanting a bee friend does not equal boy readiness. What does? R-E-S-P-E-C-T-ing yourself, you nutty mamacita, enough to recognize a healthy option when you see one.
Have you ever had the nutty mamacita at Starbucks? It's pretty good. Get a little cold foam on top.
See, I was thinking that was something you get from See's Candy.
Sidebar, what the fuck is cold foam? I never found out, and I don't think I ever want to at this point. Seems like, I don't know. They should have come up with another name, because cold foam sounds disgusting.
Pam seems like she would know what cold foam is.
Yeah.
I don't know.
She lives in Los Angeles.
She's living that foam life.
Yeah.
Aren't you foaming the cold milk? Isn't that cold foam?
I don't know.
Oh.
I don't know.
Our PDF reader scored 21 on this quiz. Just to let you know that when you score super high on this quiz, it...
When you say PDF reader, you meant the former owner of this magazine.
The former owner of this issue. Yeah. Yes.
That's our PDF reader.
Adobe Acrobat did not score 21 on this.
Oh, I see. No. I'm sorry. I'm using Preview. So I just mean my PDF owner of prior magazine.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And everybody's got it from their visual aids, assuming you're using it. Mm-hmm. You'll see that they have not fucked around. Didn't even change their mind to get good scores. With the confidence that she has circled her scores, too. She's just like, I'm B, whatever. But anyway, she gets top score. You, my dear, seem to like yourself and be comfy with yourself. And don't you know, it's just that self-sufficiency that makes you ready for a relationship. Dave, what did you get?
I sneaked in at that level at 17.
Whoa.
Of course.
What do you mean by that?
Well, it says Dave's able to handle the one he's got very nicely.
Or the one fully, I got.
And is also fully at ease solo. You're not about to fling away your standards or sense of self for some or any Tara. Yeah. This is rare and beauteous, as well as inherently sassy. Way to go, Dave.
Sounds like
A+.
Me.
Plus. Mm-hmm. Sounds like
the one
you.
Thing people totally. Say about me, I'm inherently sassy.
You are mamacita.
And you?
I am.
Barely got what Tara got. Barely.
Oh.
And I had to go back and be like, oh, man. Like, I got 9.
Oh, just squeaked in.
8 is probably, like, I'm an 8 rising for sure.
Oh, no.
Then.
8 starts, you have a tendency to act like scum.
Yeah.
That sounds like Pam.
You have a tendency to act like scum under a floorboard for unattainable or inappropriate guys. Mm. Or just as bad, rule out nice ones who can't meet your exacting standards. That's not me. Perhaps your excess pickiness is a way of putting off actually finding someone to be happy with because you're too nervous or insecure to be ready for this whole guy thing. We can relate, but we can't encourage this behavior. Not till you're pleased with who you are. Will you ever be totally pleased with anyone else to tackle that self-image thing first and then start scoping? So I think I'm really more the bottom of this 16-9 where they're like, if this boy were foul, like then they're talking to Pam. What are you doing? Mm-hmm. Why are you ditching your friends? Why are you losing perspective? What are you doing? It's not more important to just have a boyfriend.
Yeah. But
yeah,
this seems like what they're describing in the bottom category seems like two separate problems. One is you have a tendency to act like scum under a floorboard for unobtainable or inappropriate guys, or you're too picky. You have extreme pickiness, which seems like they're at opposite ends of of a spectrum of relationship non-readiness.
I think the third question in this version, though, where it's like you act like you're either a piece of shit or you're too good, too high on yourself.
Yeah.
Question 3, though, or do you maybe not like boys? I think falls right in here.
Yeah. Yep.
Ask yourself, maybe you don't want a relationship at all, and that is okay.
Yeah.
They don't give them that. It's like, get with it. It's like, if you get with it, relationships are happening.
Yes.
Figure it out.
That's true. This was the era of mandatory heterosexuality, for sure. Mm-hmm.
I want my relationship to be just like A, Romeo and Juliet's, B, Cinderella and Prince Charming, C, the parents on Roseanne, and the reader, former owner, has selected C. Just not a lot of great choices in this one.
That's what I picked too.
Yeah. I picked that because the other one seemed like just a really raw deal.
Well, as the one who picked Romeo and Juliet, I just want to say.
Yeah.
They really loved each other.
Sure.
To the end.
Yeah.
To the end.
To the end, yes. And we are well aware of the end in that story.
They defied parental rules. They snuck out. Uh-huh. They loved each other deeply.
Well, right. I hesitate to say anything because I know you don't want someone to be too critical of you. But I do find it funny that you went back and redid it like this is homework. Like, you have an actual therapist. You don't have to take this so seriously.
What are we doing here if we're not taking these things seriously?
You're right.
I take my podcast seriously. Look at me. I'm rewriting. I'm really like, well, was that? See, we're playing the same game. Yep. Mm-hmm. This is our game time.
We got some calls. Let's start with our teen life call from Jenny.
Hello, listen to Sassy. Jenny from Saskatoon here. I was listening just now to the episode about October 1991. And in the stuff you wrote section, you read a Sheila Hetty piece. And I was doing the dishes and I had to stop because I, at 48 years old, was immediately transported back to Toronto, 1997, when I was a young creative writing student and Sheila Hetty was a couple years ahead of me in school. And she was a beloved darling of the Toronto creative writing community. She did not know me, but I admired her with what was an adolescent, seething, jealous rage. I've never read a Sheila Hetty book. Cannot bring myself to do it. I thought I had gotten over this jealousy of Sheila Hetty and her successes. And then listening to your episode, you brought it all back. So I am now transported back to my adolescent self, which I guess is ultimately the goal of your show. Okay, bye.
I haven't read a Sheila book, Sheila Hetty book either. And I don't have anywhere near as good a reason as you do. It's fine. You can be jealous of people and not want to root for their success. You can be too critical of them if you wish for any reason or no reason. I think that's fine. It's fine to have a grudge against her. Moving on to our pop culture calls. Number two.
Hello. Listen to CSE. I had to call in. I've been meaning to call in for absolutely forever, and I just haven't got around to it. My name's Kat. I'm calling from New Zealand. I'm a longtime Pammy.com and Television Without Pity reader. And since like 1998, I was reading Pammy, and I love the show. I went back through my podcast playlist and realized I hadn't listened for some reason to July 1990 Pop Cultures episode. And I get partway in, and I'm very startled to hear a mention of The Tribe, which was a show that if anybody in my small town of Lower Hutt, New Zealand, was living anywhere near and was a child actor of any kind, appeared in, and I appeared in a bunch of episodes in seasons 3, 4, and 5. So if you ever want any inside stories, I'm more than happy to share them. Anyway, I just thought I would mention that lots of New Zealand mentions in the podcast, and we obviously do punch above our weight. We're pretty awesome down here. But yeah, love you guys. Love the podcast. Keep it up. And yeah, that was just really funny.
Pam, do you remember what The Tribe was about? Did we actually talk about it in detail?
I don't recall.
In the near future, there's a virus, and the virus only kills old people. So the only people left are kids, and then the kids are Lord of the Flies, but for a whole country instead of just an island. And it's sort of halfway to Road Warrior fashion-wise, so
yes,
I think Kat here probably had some pretty cool-looking duds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
It's a terrible show, mind you. People love it in the same way people love lots of terrible shit from their childhood.
Mm-hmm.
Not great TV, but certainly fun to watch an episode.
You mean now, or was it then? Like, is she just like, thanks, Dave? Or we liked it at the time.
No, it's from like the 90s.
Yeah.
Or no, maybe early 2000s. Oh,
sorry. I understand that. But I mean, back then, was it considered, this is, people were watching this with the intensity of Survivor or whatever.
Oh, no, this is, it's like, it would be like a YA TV equivalent. Mm-hmm. It's sort of got that audience. So maybe something more like a Nickelodeon show or something like that.
Oh, wow. Oh, that does sound fun. Yeah. Also, thanks for listening, Kat, for that's so long. That's almost 2 decades.
Yeah, it's too long to try stuff.
That's amazing.
Fuck off, Neil. This is like the third time that thought has come across my mind. Just listen to the Ed O'Neill thing, whatever the one was before where he was supposed to review something and like didn't even like read it or watch it. I just, why does this person, why, I mean, okay, all right, 30 plus years ago, why did this person have a job at Sassy? I know we know why, but my God, just fuck off, Neil.
Wow. I know this says no name, but I'm pretty sure that's Megan, isn't it?
It sounds like Megan, but she didn't sign off with just Kevin Kudrow forever.
She was so too angry.
Well, she called, whoever this is, they called twice, and okay. I don't think it's Megan.
Oh, okay.
Because the second one we're about to hear in a second sounded less to her, less like her than, but I thought the same thing, especially fuck off, Neil, was very Megan to me. I mean, her accent isn't that strong. I'm exaggerating, but.
Yeah.
Yeah, I heard it too. Let's move on.
Hello. So, sorry, I'm driving. I apologize if it's like all you can hear is the air vent.
Oh, yeah, Megan can't drive because of that thing in her past.
But listening to one of my, working my way through a bunch of like Australia and New Zealand true crime podcasts, and one of the ones I was just listening to, Sassy, you listen to me this time, but one of the ones I was just listening to, interviewing a woman who was friends with a girl who went missing in the 90s, and she was describing the girl, and here's how she described her. She was a cool girl. She was so cool, always doing all these daggy things. I wanted to be just like her. Daggy in the wild, 90s usage, apparently is a real thing. So I guess Sassy was just not wrong, but that is just not one that I feel transferred, but anyway, Daggy out in the wild, the things you learn. Bye.
But Daggy is bad. Daggy doesn't mean that if someone is Daggy, they're not someone you would want to be like. Daggy is like nerdy or shameful or whatever.
Well, maybe at some point it meant what comfortable. This one says daggy cool, the Australian New Zealand slang term. Can be that sweet spot where they're uncool back to effortlessly authentic and endearing.
No. All right.
So there is a version where it became the shit, I guess.
It's like bad. Right. That can mean bad. Good.
That's right. Fashion calls.
Fashion.
Turn to the left.
Fashion.
Turn to the right.
All right.
Oh, God.
The fashion song will continue until morale improves.
Hi, this is Carrie calling from Chicago. I'm behind on the podcast, so I don't know if somebody's already mentioned this. And so I thought I wouldn't call, but then I thought no one's going to mention this but me, probably. So I was watching Wild Cards, the Canadian show with Jason Priestley, where they are con artists. The daughters of con, anyway, it's completely unimportant, but they use Hypercolor to have a con at the end of the season. Basically, they are inspired by those mugs that turn a different color, and they have an airplane that they fly into the sky. This is super spoilers, but nobody cares. Into the sky, like above the clouds where it's colder, and then it turns from a prison plane to just a normal plane, and then they like turn around and come back into the airport. So they used Hypercolor, or just like the mug, which I think is the same technology, to have their con at the end of the show. So it made me laugh, and it made me think of you. And so I wanted to share, because I don't think anyone watches Wild Cards. I don't know, maybe Tara watches Wild Cards. Maybe you can watch it on Again With This. Again With This. So, yes, I just thought I'd have to share. Okay, thanks. Bye.
I understand why you think I might watch that, but I don't. So thank you for the intel. That sounds like a fun show. Sounds like a sort of, you know, a white collar sort of a thing, but more Canadian.
Speaking about TV shows,
yeah.
Back to The Tribes. How many episodes of The Tribes do you think they made?
How many episodes?
Episodes in total of The Tribes.
100?
260 episodes. Whoa! Of The Tribes.
Holy shit.
2003, that's it. Oh. 4 years. So wow. They were just going crazy with that shit.
Cranking them out before everyone's voice changed, I guess. Yeah,
that's all they had going on in New Zealand at the time.
Huh.
The Hobbit industry was yet to fully form. So we had to deal with the tribes.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
Yep.
Next.
Hi, listen to Sassy. This is your favorite ex-Portlander from the Discord. I'm just calling because I am listening to the whole back catalog of Listen to Sassy chronologically as I go through the horrifying experience of setting up my own business, and it is really such a balm to my soul. I'm calling because I just listened to an episode, a slumber party episode, where somebody talked about being made into a Noxzema burrito post-sunburn by their mom, and it evoked a memory that I have not thought about in forever of my mom after one of the worst sunburns I've ever gotten in my life. Like, I had scars from this sunburn 4 years, and my mom thought it would be a really good idea to put Icy Hot on it. And oh, no. For like 2 seconds after she slathered the whole back of my body, my legs, my back, every part of that, my dorsal side, with Icy Hot, for like 2 seconds, I was like, this is the best idea ever. And then I think I burst a blood vessel from screaming because the icy was so brief and the hot was so hot. And I just felt compelled to share that with you. So I'm sure I will be calling back about more old stuff and I'm running out of time. Okay, bye.
I gasped out loud when I listened to this one. Holy shit.
Is it because there's alcohol in it probably?
Yeah, I would assume.
But for the cool part or the burn part?
You know, just like evaporation cooling.
Yeah. Yeah. Just that first burst of.
You know who's to blame for this?
Your mom.
No, not your mom. Oh. Shaquille O'Neal.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Maybe Shaquille O'Neal is her mom.
That would be great.
Mm-hmm. That's terrible. I mean, I was going to say, I hope you still speak to her. But actually, if you don't, I think that's fine.
So sorry that happened to you. Is that where the scars came from? I mean, internally, yes. But
oh man, that's terrible.
Yeah. Our kid came home with a horrible sunburn 2 minutes before she got on the plane for the class trip to Korea. And she came home, you know, that kind when they walk in and everybody goes, oh no.
Yeah. That's been me many times. Oh, Davey should tell Pam about your recent clothing purchases. She'll be so proud
of you. I'm wearing it right now because I just came back from a walk a little bit ago. This is my UPF clothing.
Yeah,
I rated 50. I also have shorts.
Okay.
And the shorts are lady shorts. I ordered lady shorts. I didn't notice, but they're much more comfortable, so I'm keeping them.
Tee-hee.
And I bought a sun hat with a neck flap on the back, a little neck cape. It goes over your neck. And bought a little tiny 1 ounce squeezy thing so I can carry around some sunscreen because the ultraviolet index here is 10 billion at the moment.
Yeah, it's nuts where you
live. It goes from zero to 12, and we're at a billion. So I am all sunned up. There's a picture of Bugs Bunny that Tara sent me a while ago. I am Bugs Bunny.
Oh, yes. I was going to say, Mom, Dad, Dave's dead. Dead serious about sun protection.
I feel like you've now earned, like, someone in the neighborhood calls you walking guy.
For sure.
Where they're like, did you see, was walking guy out? No. Oh, I hope he's like, I haven't seen walking guy in a couple of days. Because you've got an outfit.
That's right. The name. Yeah. And I put the hoodie up. So I got the hoodie and then the sun hat over the hoodie. So, like, nothing's hitting my neck. The only thing that really could get sunburned at this point is the back of my legs if I'm not wearing pants and a little bit of my face. I'm glad, Dave.
That's great. Yeah. I'm so glad you do that.
Thanks.
On behalf of all of us, thank you so much.
Okay.
I just still stay inside.
Tara's got it. Tara's.
I have my own methods.
SPF hermit. Yeah.
I walk the dogs. I go outside, but do it after 10 p.m. if possible because I sweat as it is. There's no time I can do it.
After the sun's been scared away.
Yes.
All right, moving on.
This poor kid. Yeah, that's fine.
Hello, Dave, Pam, and Tara. This is Jennifer in North Carolina. First thing I need to say, and this is regarding the most recent fashion episode, is that, Pam, I thought paraphernalia was very funny. So well done there. I was on my walk and I laughed out loud. But I realized this height-based fashion issue, oh man, it really triggered some things in me. First of all, with Mila Jovovich on the cover, I was very influenced by Sassy to hate her, to absolutely loathe her. You know, as someone who, I guess this was 1991, right? I was just starting high school. I was like 14 years old, not a time when you feel great about yourself. And so I see this beautiful model. I'm just like, ugh, she must be so stupid. I hate her. And I really felt, and Christina absolutely fanned those flames. But, and later, of course, it hadn't happened in 1991, but she, of course, was in a movie with Christian Slater, who I was in love with, and that just made it that much worse. But I feel like there was a bad review in Sassy, but that's forthcoming. Anyway, though, fast forward a few years past the Sassy era, I was doing my study abroad, and my roommate was a girl from my college who I didn't know there, and she was really cool. Like, we had a genuine friendship. I really liked her, but she was tall and gorgeous and had done some modeling. And of course, you know, we're on the study abroad. We're pretty broke. We're doing our best. And one day, she just gets a check in the mail for $500 because she'd done a photo shoot for a local magazine back home, like a bride magazine. And then they had published a book about wedding etiquette, and they used her picture on the cover. So because of that, they send her a check for $500, which I guess is better than Disney, but that's neither here nor there. I just remember feeling just so like, ugh, just because she's tall and beautiful, she gets $500 in the mail and I'm broke. Justice for short people. Love the podcast. Bye, y'all.
Justice for short people, indeed.
So if you like a boy movie star like Christian Slater, do you, as your former younger selves, hate the female co-star that is also in the movie that is his love interest because they are, in your mind, a competitor for his heart?
Yeah, sometimes.
Okay.
Pam, do you agree?
No, the only time I felt this really so silly, but you said it, and I'm like,
was it the scissors from Edward Scissorhands?
No, we're moving wildly to John Travolta.
Oh.
Samantha Mathis after Con Air. Is that right? What's the movie that they were in together? It had something to do with planes, I think. But anyway, she told a story on some late night show about dancing with John Travolta at a rap party. And I was like, I've never hated her. But like, she was also in Pump Up the Volume. I just wanted to be Samantha Mathis.
I think the movie that you're thinking of is Broken Arrow.
Sure.
And guess who else is in that, if I recall correctly? Christian Slater, I think.
He is. Yeah. Well,
there you go.
He plays the plane. Explains- And then Robbie Robertson created the title song for that called Broken. He didn't. It's a different song. Unrelated.
All right. Let's wrap it up.
All right.
Hello. I love your show. And I just had to call and thank Tara for pointing out the stranglehold that Sassaby wound up having on those of us who are devoted Shannon Doherty addicts. I was a Brenda addict. I was a Shannon Doherty addict. And therefore, I had to have a Sassaby, which is objectively a worse in color and worse in design, but especially in color makeup organizer. They were also super heavy and like they implied that you could carry them around everywhere. But nobody ever did that. And I had that ugly pink Sassaby forever, which, by the way, neither Brenda nor Shannon would ever use because I was so influenced by that damn ad. Okay, that's all I got. Thanks. Love you guys. Bye.
I like the Sassaby security system that went off during that call. You think they're so heavy because they're lead-lined, you know, so they can survive attacks and whatnot?
Yes, exactly.
I can't find enough to eat here in the post-apocalyptic world, but my makeup's okay.
We can't afford a safe. We'll just get a Sassaby.
That's right.
It's the same.
Yeah.
The reason I knew that was Joanna is because Joanna tried a couple of times before where she introduced herself and then hung up. So
okay.
I did not just guess.
Like stage fright or?
Something went wrong. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Sounds like she's got a lot of technical problems in her car or wherever she's calling from.
Perhaps.
We have teased out whether or not we're ever going to force Dave to take the dirt survey known as probe. That's what the girls get quizzes, boys get the probe.
Oh, yeah.
We consider you filling out this probe. Ew. Dave, sorry.
I meant the questionnaire.
It says, we consider you're filling out this probe a huge favor. In return, we're offering a whole slew of randomly selected rewards, courtesy of the folks at Sire Records, and a little phone scamming on our part. There is the fine print. It says, dude, read the fine print. Dave doesn't want me to read the fine print, but they make all kinds of jokes in this fine print, including a surprise, surprise with the Z because it's prizes. It's the fine print about the prizes. And then they tell you, you can't write with chalk or spray paint. Anyway, it's the probe, Dave. Welcome to the probe. I don't know if we're going to do all of these. It's a 2-page survey, but
right. Just give me your selections, Pam. I have not looked at it in advance.
Okay. Well, as first instructed, it says, just
under threat.
Section one Pam, is called
"Who Threatened Me with Violence."
Oh my god, that was the probe by Dave Failed. Okay. Are you too annoying for a quiz? When a quiz comes your way, do you? A. All right. The first section is called vague section. Yeah. Number one, your age?
54.
Number two, do you know anyone famous?
Nope.
You know the person who wrote the screenplay for Moana, Dave.
Right.
No, you don't. Not according to IMDb, you don't.
Besides Pam, no.
I don't know if that's true. I'd like to think over. You have some friends. Anyway.
Uh-huh. You know Sarah Number Baker. Three. She's kind of famous.
Yeah.
That's true.
Sarah Baker.
Yeah, that's
Number true. Three. What career would you like to pursue?
Ooh. Event skydiver. You know the guys and they got like the trails on their feet and you see the smoke trails and stuff. And then I land in the boxing ring or whatever you got going on in the middle of the open air stadium. And I land. And I pick up the microphone and I say whatever my version of Are You Ready to Rumble is, because I can't, because that's copyrighted.
Right.
Are you prepared to fight? I'll say. And everybody's like, I guess. Not very catchy.
Incredible. I was just recently reminded of the photos of you clutching a helicopter in terror.
Oh, yeah.
This is a real...
That was a bad afternoon for David Teagle.
This is a real surprise answer, but I love it.
Actually, as soon as you said that, my stomach started to turn.
Yeah. I saw it. Yeah.
I had some post-traumatic stress syndrome, for sure.
It's wild that you are, this is your, but that's all right. It's great to have these kinds of aspirations.
Sure.
Number four, who do you respect?
Ooh, Tara with true red hair.
Number five, it's an ordinary weekday. For the sake of argument, we'll say it's a Tuesday. What are you going to wear today?
Well, Tuesday is our big recording day for podcasts, like a whole afternoon into the evening. So probably everybody's lucky if I'm actually wearing pants at all.
That's true. He does have a Maasai blanket that he often puts in his lap.
Why is that?
We know why.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Number nine, what do you currently use for transportation?
Mostly my feet, actually.
That's true. Walk
around
you walk
a lot.
More than you drive.
I do have a highly dented Honda HRV in the driveway. Dents provided by mysterious figures who come in the night. I suspect trolls or gnomes. It's certainly not my non-redhead wife.
Number 11. What was the last good birthday or Christmas present you received?
What did you get me for my birthday, Tara? You got me something. Was it tickets? Is it the tickets to the show?
I got you tickets to a show a while ago. We went to the Tim Robinson show.
Right.
That was in
but
like
the tickets for the Comedy Bang Bang wasn't for my
birthday?
Well,
those were free.
Yeah, okay.
They were courtesy
so
of-
So you didn't re-gift?
My friend.
Courtesy of your good friend, Paul F.
Tompkins.
Okay.
He's not actually my friend. We have not met, but we are mutuals on Blue Sky.
Yeah.
I got you bread for your last birthday after we had that bread conversation. I got you a loaf of multigrain bread.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
I did get you something for your birthday. What did I get you? Oh, I got you that the French fry scoop that you immediately
threw
away.
Oh, that's right. That wasn't great.
Well, what else? There was more.
You know those French fry scoops you get at McDonald's and it's like a big... It's a big delta. It's like it looks like a funnel, and there's like a little spot at the bottom where you put the paper sleeve, and so you can shake it down into the fry container. When am I ever going to use that? We'd have to make fries and somehow also buy fry packets.
You could use those for your tater tots that your cauliflower tots that you make.
But I'm not going to put them in anything.
We'll just use it to scoop to put on a plate.
But it's too big of a scoop for our situation.
No, but it works
better. Okay, wait.
Pam,
is this what you wanted out of probe? Listen, let's just say I make... Pam, you stay out of this. Let's just say I make tater tots in the toaster oven, okay? You know the size of the tray in the toaster oven. Now they are done, and I move them out, and I'm ready to get them off that and onto a plate. The giant fry thing is too big to scoop them all up.
Yeah.
So I would have to get a flipper, put them onto what you bought me, and then onto the plate, creating a unnecessary
stage. No, you use the scoop instead of the flipper because
I'm saying
it has
the scoop
sides
is too
to
big.
Hold it. No.
The scoop not. Is too big. It's not. Big.
Well, we'll never know because it's in the pile for the Goodwill now.
Yep. All right. Moving on. Pam's just... Pam,
does that question went exactly how I
shut
hoped.
Up for
I
a second because
yeah,
I did
Pam.
Get you
stay
good.
Out of this.
Not you, Pam.
Oh,
I got you a top notch T-shirt.
Oh yeah, that was good.
And I got you Smack Macaroni and Cheese from
that's
New York.
Right, the Smack Macaroni, the Masala Mac.
Yes,
I was just about to say. I know there's a mac and cheese answer here. Yep. I remember it.
Yes.
Yeah, Smack in New York City, a great macaroni and cheese place. They have an Indian variety, and that is the best. And Tara got me four frozen ones. There's still three in the freezer. So that was a great gift. Tara's the best. Pam, stop trying to break us apart. Next question.
Well, next question is, do you have a girlfriend?
So no.
We'll skip it.
I got a wife with exceptionally large breasts. I think we've already...
Come on. I thought you were going to say exceptional taste. Jerk.
They taste fine.
Next time. All right. Number 13. Have you ever made a prank phone call?
Yes.
Sure.
Yeah.
Who hasn't?
Not in a long time, but when I was, a tween, definitely.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Here's your all-time favorite section. List what are the three best bands in the world?
Ooh. All right. Well, I'm a big Genesis fan, especially their prog rock era, 70s. Late. Oh, boy. Why?
I have never heard Dave or like listen to Genesis.
Really?
Like to know someone for this long. We've been on car rides together.
Listen, that's
because I don't play it for people.
He does.
I have. Look, I'm just going to show you. Don't tell her. I'm just going to show you.
Mm-hmm. In multiple continents, we have like been in the car together for hours. And at no point is that, if I seen Dave be like, she seems to have an invisible touch. Yeah.
I know everything about Genesis, Peter Gabriel and Phil Collins and Mike Rutherford and Tony Banks and Steve Hackett and even Anthony Phillips.
This is wild.
Dave is very shy about whatever he listens to.
If
the car pairs to his phone when we get in, he will like dive for it so that I can't learn anything about This Week in Max or
well,
whatever
it's
that
because,
is. This Week in Tech.
All right. Let me just show you what I have in my playlist thing. Mm. Okay. I know you can't really see it. Okay. It's called The Safety Zone. I have one playlist. It's called The Safety Zone. It's songs
so
on my phone I think other people will not make fun of me for.
This
because
is so weird.
Wait, because
I don't want to hear shit
Tara
about
used to make
me
fun of my, the song she would like
again.
She'd be like, oh, this song, you sure you want to put that on the safety zone? I'm like, so
come
now
on.
I just don't. What
that
do you mean come
happened.
On it happened?
No,
I know it happened. No, because you made me feel bad about it.
Oh no, I'm sorry.
All right, so anyways, okay, so that's one, definitely Genesis. We're talking bands, not
yeah bands.
Okay, bands,
but let's assume musical artists.
You can do whatever
fine.
You want. Yeah,
all right, I'm just going to look quickly at my, I'll edit this out so it's really great.
We're going to have to do this in multiple weeks. There's just too many. I haven't even gotten to the next section.
You like Jenny Lewis. I know that.
Yeah, I like her fine.
You like the music of Grimes, but I think probably not some of her opinions.
I like what she's got one really fantastic pop album. It's one of the best pop albums of all time, I'm going to argue. Mm-hmm. But she is definitely the modern equivalent of Kate Bush insofar that she's a theater kid that never grew up.
Do you mean Chapel Roan?
Crowded House.
Grimes.
I put Crowded House up
yeah,
there.
Oh, Crowded House. I'm sorry. Missed it. Crowded House. Okay.
The Damned. I'm a big fan of The Damned. I mean, their stuff from the 80s.
Amazing. Well, that's
three.
Three.
That's but three. I'm just going through. I'm not saying those are my top three. Just bear with me. Let's go. I do like Gordon Lightfoot. Look at Pam. Did you hear that? That's how I felt when you do it.
No.
Tara.
This is me imagining a screenshot of the Safety Zone. I just want to see the album covers of the Safety Zone. First of all, you have one playlist.
Yeah.
And it is songs I'm okay with.
Okay, do you
want to
just
I only have one playlist.
All right.
What are you talking about?
Here's who's on the Safety Zone. I got Bat for Lashes. I've got Blondie. I've got a couple selected tracks from the Chemical Brothers. Got some Dire Straits, the ones without bad words in them. Fever Ray. I'm definitely putting Fever Ray in my top three. Ray.
I would like the Risky Zone. I would like to know who's on the stay out of my playlist.
Okay.
I don't want to hear your shit.
All right. Well, okay, yeah, we definitely should cut this up into, we'll just parcel them out over the next few
That's a good idea. Okay.
Slumbers, but okay, so.
If you want, every time I start a new section, I can kick it up again if you'd like.
You want to know who is in my list that does not make the safety zone typically? Mm-hmm. Okay, mm-hmm. I don't put any old Genesis on it because prog rock scares people. You want a 26-minute song about the apocalypse? I could put it on the safety list, but I don't think you're going to want to hear it. Mm-hmm. Lots of 90s electronica music like Future Sound of London or Orbital, that kind of stuff. That doesn't go on because people are like, what's this bleep and bloop nonsense? I'm like, shut the fuck
Who
up.
Who are people?
You.
Okay. I'm not against electronic music.
Yeah. I do like Kate Bush a lot.
Listen, I only have one playlist, and that means sometimes you're going to be listening to a cool Rilo Kiley track, and then the next one that shuffles up is going to be We Like Sports by The Lonely Island.
I got a couple songs. I got a few songs from Indian movies that I really enjoy that I don't put on the safety list. But I don't think I got any artists that you're like, they are so bad. It's mostly like, I'm okay with most of the artist selections here. I just don't want to, like, they're just like outside of Miss Kitten. I don't think I would put Miss Kitten on the list. And I don't put Morcheeba on the list anymore because Tara made fun of me saying all the songs I listen to somehow always sound like Morcheeba, which is bullshit. None of them do. But I stopped putting it on there just so that I couldn't prove her point that in fact, Morcheeba sounds like Morcheeba.
You're acting like you don't criticize my musical taste. You tell me that all the time.
I just tell you all your songs sound the same. I don't say they're bad. I just say you listen to one song It's like Kit Kat. You only eat Kit Kat, but sometimes you're going to have Kit Kat flavor from Japan. Sometimes you have the regular one, but they're all
sometimes
the same.
Sometimes I dream of being Esther Perel. And this is a moment when I know that I would not be, I'm not cut out for it because I do not know how to bring this back. But I'll try with this. I just decided what would be my next playlist number if I told Spotify I'd like to make a new playlist. Yeah. Mm-hmm. This would be playlist number 902.
What?
What?
902.
Why?
I don't understand how you both have one playlist.
But these are generated playlists. You have not made 900 playlists your own personal self. You have?
Most of them. Very few of these say made for, and I was like, I'll save that. Or written by Diane Warren. I saved that. Is that one of my numbers? I'm not sure because this says my library playlists. My playlist number 902, if I
hit
it.
That's madness.
Wow.
Some of it was, I hit like a limit on Spotify of how many songs you could like. And so it wouldn't save any more albums. So I would make that a playlist because fuck these people. But no, I'm at.
I'm definitely nowhere near that.
I'm almost at 1,000 playlists. Anyway, one. I don't even know how you do it. I don't know. How do you tell someone, oh, I'll make you a bunch of Pixies? That's a playlist. Here comes your band. Wow.
I go to the songs thing. I hit shuffle. And that's pretty much how I listen to music.
Yeah. I listen to my playlist or I listen to the Apple Music Discover station.
Yeah. Sometimes
and I discover music that way.
Yeah. All right. Any more questions for today?
Let's stop there. We got to the end of the first column.
Oh, okay. So that was just the vague section. That was the all-time favorite section.
I got one question into all-time favorite, and I realized we were never going to.
Okay, so we'll pick up with the all-time favorite section next time.
Okay.
All right, excellent.
Next time, we'll be opening up the November 1991 issue to talk about its teen life topics. Parents are getting divorced. Karen's eulogizing a friend. Guys are sharing their views on whether a woman could be president of the United States. And more! I have two plugs this week. One is for me and our friend, Sarah D. Bunting, my co-host, on Again With This. We are still recapping my so-called life at Again With This. That's againwiththispodcast.com/club. The second episode is going up. He'll have just gone up by the time this episode drops on the free feed. You can hear that July 16th. And I also, on the 90s tip, want to promote Blue Heron, a wonderful Canadian movie that I saw last night. It is set largely in the 90s. And Pam, this movie is not on your radar, you should watch it.
It's on my list. It's right
fantastic.
Here to watch.
You will love it.
Great. I feel like I would. By the time this comes out, I believe the episode that I just recently did with This Had Oscar Buzz will be out. We talk about one act, and we do so by talking about The Thin Blue Line.
Oh, great.
so that's, we have a link to there, and there's even I'm sure they kept it. There's an Accidental Dave Cole reference.
Oh, great.
Listen for it.
Speaking of those songs, Confidential to Tara, apparently I also have a Terry Hall song on my iTunes, and I didn't even know who he was. He's a guy who sings Ghost Towns. Now I know.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Great.
You can follow Tara at Tara Ariano. Find out what she's listening to. You can follow Pam on Instagram at Pamela Ribbon. She will not reply to your comments. You can follow the show she doesn't have time.
I'm Blue
you
Sky.
You have to go through her agent.
That's not true. On Instagram, I'm very reachable.
Okay. At Pamela Ribbon for that. At Listen to Sassy for Listen to Sassy on Blue Sky. And I'm also on Blue Sky sometimes when I'm on a VPN. But otherwise, they're like, you're in Texas. You got to send us all your credit card information. And I'm like, pass. So maybe I'll be on Blue Sky, but maybe not. Who's to say? The world sucks right now. You can join the club for Listen to Sassy. $5 gets you that PDF scan of whatever issue we're currently talking about, plus all the ones in the past. Access to our Discord. Pam will answer your social media requests only if you're in the club.
I do go to Discord every once in a while. You can also call us. Our hotline is 720-SASSY-GO. Leave us a voicemail, and you can join us on one of these slumber parties. We'd love to have you. ListenToSassy.com is where you can find everything. I feel like this thing we say three times, but I'll say it every time. ListenToSassy.com. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next time.